Hello, everybody. Welcome to Shift Church. My name's Tim Carter. I'm vicar at All Saints Church in Wellington, St Catherine's in Eyton in the Telford area. It is lovely to have you with us, whether you're watching live or whether you're catching up on a podcast or on video a bit later. This evening, I've got Sarah with me. Say hi, Sarah.
Hello. Hi, Sarah. Feels that long. I don't know how to say hello.
And I've got Liz with me. Say hi, Liz.
Hi, Liz.
So, for those of you who were with us last week, you'll remember we started a little bit late because the technology had forgotten how to work. Yeah. Now, because of that, we gave ourselves a little bit of time to set up this evening, and we were still running around like headless chickens 30 seconds ago trying to make it work, but it is now working. We've managed to start on time, but we are all out of breath. So, we're all going, and breathe.
Hysterical, I think.
But we're here now. It's all very exciting. I eventually remembered how I fixed it last week and fixed it again this week. And now I'm getting your internet connection is unstable messages. So what else can go wrong tonight?
Excellent.
Nothing. It's all going to be fine. Those of you who are catching up on the podcast, of course, with the leisure to listen to this when you like, you've got none of these issues. Lucky you. If you're with us live, do say hello in the comments stream. I think Sarah's going to keep an eye on that this evening.
I'm on the stream.
Anybody say hello to yet, Sarah?
Yeah, Ali's here and Jan Simcox. Yeah. So great to see you guys.
Excellent. Say hello to us, to each other. If you've got questions or comments on anything we're talking about, stick it in the stream. Just talk to each other, prayer requests later on or through the evening, and we'll pick those up and pray for them later. And if you're not with us live but are joining in at another time, you can contribute. Email me tim@allsaints-wellington.org. that would be great to have you. How's your day been? We'll just have a bit of a catch up. Sarah, Liz, how's your day? I haven't seen my wife all day.
No, I haven't seen you.
That's a secret to a good marriage, that is.
she went off to Gratitude with a friend for coffee this morning before I left the house, and then I left the house, and then I got back about 20 minutes ago.
Wow.
Yeah. It's been one of those days where I don't know where it went, because I sat down to do some work and it just let all the hours just...
They do that, don't they?
Yeah.
And Sarah, exciting news, we now can see your new house.
Yes, my new abode. You can see the arranged part of that.
Ooh.
I keep wanting to say the downstairs. What I mean by the downstairs is the sort of lounge, diner, kitchen. But because I'm in this one level lodge thing, there isn't an upstairs, but I still keep referring to this as downstairs. I've not tried to climb up anywhere to go to bed yet, but it's been pretty full on for the last couple of weeks, but since probably last Wednesday, it's just been mad, because I finally had 72 hours notice of moving, and my removals couldn't make it with such short notice, so I had to get a man with a van and six runs with various things to and from. So, unfortunately, I was hoping I might have lost a great amount of weight, but I haven't had time to eat, but I have had time to put in lots of chocolate. So, unfortunately, yeah, there you go. At least I'm burning it off. Hi, Emmy's joined us. I'm Jason Lewis. Hello, Jason Lewis.
Oh. Hi, guys.
I'm just really impressed, Sarah, that you have, like, picture frames up behind you. You've just moved into a house and you kind of like got a little area of all very organized.
Yeah, but this is, you have to remember, this is my team's area for work, because I moved in on Friday afternoon and I started back to work Monday morning. So, and I work purely remotely. So I am now sitting, I've lost an office. So my office is now the dining table, and that's my backdrop, you see. So I had to have this part looking cool, calm and collected. Yeah.
Very good. Rightio. This evening, we are thinking a bit about how we have difficult conversations well. So I've got a bit of a spoken word poem. It's quite, usually we have a bit of a relaxing thing to start with. This one's a little bit more challenging than we normally would have, but I'm hoping it's going to get the creative juices flowing. So we will just take a breath, put aside all that, we're going to put aside all that rushing around time to get things ready. Whatever you're doing, if you're out in the car, walking the dog, sat at home, let's take a breath. Be aware of the presence of God. It might be a bit of a nudging presence this evening, but the presence of God nevertheless that we're safe in. And let's have a look at this.
Time out. Here's a comma. Take a break. Before you say anything else, please just pray. That brief moment of silence to collect your thoughts before your tongue reaches a line that might not need to be crossed. Ask yourself, does there need to be an answer? Can you just listen without offering an opinion? Can you just be there and let your presence plus your pause be enough in that moment? Because that pause can be the most important part of the situation. I mean, what would happen if we decided to put our judgments on pause? Instead of needing to perform instant surgery on someone's theological flaws, what if we just backed off and instead had empathy, imagining their experience rather than thinking they're the enemy or trying to give therapy or exude our intellectual dexterity? What if we just sat presently, being there in community? What if we decided to just have a conversation and ask questions and focus on the relationship rather than the dividing issues? We say that we believe in the gospel, but do we actually live the gospel? Do we look to Jesus as a model, or do we just waffle, getting bogged down on issues that are partial to the overall commission? Because Jesus loved everyone that he met, even whenever he was nailed to a cross. And this fact we should never forget, because without it, we would all be lost. Jesus discipled 12 men. To him, it wasn't about the numbers, but rather about the heart of the men and the conversation that they covered. He didn't water down the truth to appease unbelievers, but he never spoke in hate toward any unbeliever. Now, he definitely didn't tolerate complacent in-betweeners who focused on tertiary theological keywords in the hearts of those seekers. He emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant. And even though he didn't deserve it, he was obedient to the point of death. Now that right there is as humble as it gets. And yet we, who are created as one, are a complete mess. Pride and selfishness are the antithesis of Christ. So before you act in arrogance, take a pause and resize. Remember that our lives are set at the same price and that there are no levels whenever we get to paradise. We will all be one. One body, one mind, saved by one Son, returning to the one Father that we have all come from. So pause, show some empathy, bring down the intensity and just breathe. Suspend your judgments to at least see the other person as someone who was made in the image of God, that same God that we all come from. Pause, time out, here's a comma, take a break. Before you say anything else, please. Just pray.
Wow, that was powerful.
Who was the pastor?
It's a guy called Michael Agnew.
Oh, I've heard of him.
I've heard of him, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe we ought to follow the advice and just have a brief prayer.
Yeah.
Father God, thank you for your love for us. Help us as we listen and speak this evening to do so in love for each other and for you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Now, if you hadn't been American, I'd have thought that might have been Spaghetti Junction.
Yeah, I don't think it is. It's probably some Californian freeway.
Highway.
Or something. Yeah.
I love the words he used. I love that there was one phrase he said, let's not get caught up in, what was it, the tertiary theological statements or something. It's like the things that aren't, don't matter as much, but we get so caught up in them and we get, and we can really hurt one another by...
Absolutely.
You know, by the way that we talk to one another about those things.
Yeah. Indeed. So we are going to turn to Bible. Who's reading first for us?
Tuck Bible.
Now, I will be first here. You'll be happy to know.
Always.
There we go. Oh, apart from the fact that I've lost my place in my Bible. Hang on a minute now. Well, you have to understand, I'm after Romans. What you have to understand is that when I'm reading, which is every time I'm on shift, obviously, I always print it off in large print because I've got a very small print Bible. Well, I can't find my printer at the minute. And if I did know where it was, I wouldn't probably have anywhere to connect it anyway. So I'm at the minute I'm stuck in Acts.
You need to have it on your phone and just blow it up.
That's what here you go. So I'm on Romans 12. And I'm doing
16.
It's only 16, yes. Okay, so guess where we are? We're in Romans 12, 1-16. Read. And this passage is entitled A Living Sacrifice, and it's from the NIV, the New International Version, that I'm reading. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, answers in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. But just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited.
Thanks, Sarah. And Liz, are you reading from Matthew for us?
Yeah, I'm reading from Matthew 7. verses 24 to 29. And this is the wise and foolish builders, and it's also from the NIV UK. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law.
Thank you. So I'm going to share a few thoughts on that. But if you've got questions or comments you want to put, do put them in the comments stream. We'll pick them up as we go. Or if you're watching later or listening later, do send us an email and we'll pick those up next week. So as I said at the beginning, we're thinking a little bit this week about how we have difficult conversations. And I wonder how you have them in your family or don't have them in your family. I wonder what used to happen in the household you grew up in when there were challenging topics, things where you knew you needed to talk about it, but you didn't really want to because you thought it might hurt or people might get upset. It might be a bit of a British thing to try and avoid conflict like that, or it might just be a human thing, I'm not sure. And I think there's I think we can avoid talking to about things because we want to avoid conflict. And there's perhaps one way of achieving that is only to talk to people who we know are going to agree with us. So we all just sit around and affirm each other and tell each other how clever we are and that we're definitely right. And we never find any challenge. And you kind of, the cliche of this is kind of social media echo chambers, Twitter and Facebook. But I think we see it in who we choose to talk to in the pub, at work, at school. What do they say? Birds of the feather flock together. We find like-minded people and we talk with them. So that's one end of the spectrum in this kind of arena. And the other end of the spectrum is people who just want to fight. Trolls on bulletin boards who just out there baiting people, wanting to start an argument so that they can disagree and shout them down and show how clever they are. Keyboard warriors. But again, life in general. The office bully, loudmouth on the train, the queen bee at the school gate. No, we don't know any of those. But so the two ends of the spectrum, there's the kind of completely avoid it and the go and find it to fight. And actually, I don't think that either of those approaches is particularly Christian. I think it's fairly obvious that the second one isn't going out and trying to find people to fight with. As Sarah read for us from Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome, honour one another. My translation says, do not think you are superior. Sarah said, do not be conceited. Same kind of thing. But in other places, we read of the importance of humility, of gentleness, of self-control being the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So that kind of trolling end, that's definitely not on. But actually, I don't think the other ends are just kind of avoiding all conflict. I don't think that's what Jesus did. So I don't think that's what followers of Jesus should do either. It might seem like a bit more Christian, but Paul writes, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It seems to me that if we never talk about difficult things, but always submit to the opinions of those around us, do we run the risk of being conformed to the pattern of this world? In the thing that Liz read for us from Matthew's eyewitness account of the good news of Jesus, he spends three chapters, chapters 5 to 7, sharing some of Jesus' key teaching. And it is absolutely life-changing. I think I've said this before on Shift, but if you want a real fright, seriously, read Matthew 5 to 7 through the eyes of what if I did all of this? And okay, some of it is obviously hyperbolic and kind of exaggerating for effect, but really, if we read Matthew 5 to 7 and took it completely seriously, it would scare us stupid what it would be, what it would mean doing. It's life-changing. It gives new ways of looking at life, at love, at God. And actually, it renews our minds as we read it, as we pray it, as we try and live it. And right at the end of it, Jesus, in his summary, describes his words as a rock that we can build our lives on, that won't shift like stand, but is safe to build on. So I think when it comes to difficult conversations, when we look at Jesus' life, when we look at the writings of Paul, it seems the model we see is that we need to engage with difficult conversations, to take part in them, not being afraid, but just allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through us, to speak to us, as we listen and we talk carefully with each other and be vulnerable to each other. Now, good example of a difficult conversation, a series of difficult conversations the whole Church of England's been having over, well, decades really. It's all around identity, sexuality, relationships, marriage. And the latest kind of round of conversations, if you like, have led to the production of some material called Living in Love and Faith. And hold on, I need to put this down so I can show you. There is a very big book. If you Google Living in Love and Faith, you'll find all these resources. If you really want the big book, it is a really well-written, thorough explanation and exploration of all this stuff. And I have actually read it, I would like to point out at this point. There's an online learning resource hub with all kinds of videos of stories of people who've contributed and a whole load of further reading that you can do on it. There's loads of stuff there, you can go and look at that. But there is also a little book.
Yay!
And better than that, you don't actually have to read this book on your own. This is a small group course book. How cool is that? Okay, so they've been put together by a working party at the request of the bishops in the Church of England, and the working party was made up of a whole load of different Christians, and they have a variety of different views and perspectives on this, on these areas of life. And what they say, and what I think is true from having read it, is that it's not designed to advocate or to persuade anybody necessary to change their minds about what they think. There's no agenda to change what the church thinks or teaches in its doctrine or its pastoral services on any of this stuff, or for it to be unchanged. Because within the group who put it together, there are people like me who think that the current teaching is right, and who people who think that it ought to change. And they worked together to produce this material, and every member of the group was content that the material represents their viewpoint fairly and with grace. And I've seen videos of members of the group who disagree with each other fundamentally on this stuff, but who became friends and could hear each other through this process and are happy that their own viewpoint has been fairly represented within the material. So the idea of this material isn't to persuade people to change their minds, but to enable good conversations about it. And what we mean by good conversations, what I mean, is a conversation in which everybody feels heard, in which people come away with a deeper love for each other, and by which we all gain a deeper understanding of where God is calling us and God's will for our lives. And as parishes out in the Church of England and as worshipping communities, we've been asked to have these conversations and then feed back to the bishops and to the working party our thoughts and our reflections, because we do need to discern under the Holy Spirit where God's leading the church, whether God's leading the church nationally to make changes in this area or to reaffirm its current teaching. And there's this wide conversation to have in that process. For those of you who live in the Telford area, There are going to be a few different opportunities to engage with this. Starting in October, All Saints are going to be running it in our buildings on a Thursday evening, and one of the other local churches is going to be running it on a Tuesday evening. We don't have the facility to do it online, but the Tuesday evening one, they're planning to make it accessible on Zoom as well. So if you don't live in the Telford area, but you want to join in with Telford folk to do it, to have a look at this material, email me, put a comment in the comment stream. We'll get you the details of the Tuesday night one, which will be accessible through Zoom. Or if you don't live local to Telford, you might want to get in touch with your local church and find out if they're running it local to you. I don't think we're going to be able to do it just as Shift Church, but there are opportunities. And if you can't find an opportunity local to you and you want to be part of this conversation, get in touch with me. We'll find a way of helping you do it. I can't say how other places are going to approach it. What I can say for All Saints is that as a community of congregations, as a church, we believe that we're called to be closer to Christ and sent to be closer to others. And being drawn to be closer to Christ means allowing his word to shape our lives, mm-hmm. and not to shape what we think about his word by how we want to live our lives. It's allowing his word to shape our lives as we get closer. And to do this well, we need to be honest with each other about our different readings and perspectives and understandings of that word. Because we all see it slightly differently, and that's part of what Shift Church is about. That's why we have conversations about it. Well, how do you see it? I mean, we all have to end up agreeing, but I think we learn as we hear different perspectives. And it's not saying they're all right, but we can still learn from each other. And as a church, we see ourselves as a light on a hill, a place of worship, friendship and service with Jesus at the centre, family of congregations all sharing the same values. And those values are that we love God, we love each other, we love our neighbours, we explore and we celebrate. And actually, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, actually, those values, they could be really helpful in this process, in these conversations, because we love God. And so that's primary. We love God. And so we seek to base everything that we think and say about identity, sexuality, relationships, marriage, in our love for God. On God's word to us, and we seek God's will for us as individuals and as a community in prayer together, because we love God and we love each other. We love each other even when we disagree, and we're brave enough to speak because we're kind enough to listen. That's all because we love each other. And I know that the church has often failed to love LGBTQ Christians. And we need to repent of that. We haven't loved each other. And we need to. There's got to be a commitment to love each other, mm-hmm. that underpins whatever else we think, whatever else we do. We love our neighbours. And we know that the current teaching of the church is out of step with the majority of the wider society. And there's a work of discernment here to be done to understand, to listen to the Holy Spirit and say, okay, if we change, are we being conformed to the pattern of this world that we want to avoid? Or actually, is God doing a new thing and renewing our minds about how we think about this, about new ways of living faithfully? But whichever way around it is, loving our neighbours doesn't necessarily mean agreeing with them or affirming their understanding. Sometimes the loving thing to do is to stand firm and say, and warn people and say, actually, the way you're going is going to damage you, it's going to damage other people. And exploring, we explore. And it often takes courage to explore things. Going off the beaten track, meeting people who are strange to us, opening ourselves up to different perspectives, our way of seeing things being challenged. It can feel risky, but exploring is a great way to learn, great way to grow, great way to find things out. And we celebrate. Actually, I don't think we've been good at celebrating the gifts of God here. So I wonder what it would look like if we focused more on celebrating our primary identity as those who are in Christ. I wonder what it would look like if historically the church had spent more time celebrating the gift that sex is in relationships rather than teaching that it was something to be avoided. I wonder what it would look like if the church was better at celebrating singleness as a way of life, a way of life that Jesus chose, and not, in some cases, idolizing marriage and setting that up as the gold standard of life. And I wonder what it would look like if the church was better at celebrating a wide variety of friendships and marriage. It just seems to me, I mean, you watch the TV and it doesn't, I mean, it goes all the way back to when Harry met Sally. Can men and women be friends without sex getting in the way? Well, yes. But if you looked at TV and culture nowadays, I'm not sure you'd see that very often.
Yeah.
I quite enjoyed Friends to start with, and then just the amount of bed hopping, and they all at some point, to keep the story moving, had to sleep with each other. Whoa! Can we show people that we can be friends? And actually celebrate friendship as a thing and model all that whole. Anyway, so I've gone off on one. That wasn't even you'd be thinking, hey, what's it going on about now? Anyway, it just really strikes me that as we own these values, as we live them out, we have this opportunity to have these conversations, to show the world what it's like, what it might like to have these conversations well. Not to avoid each other and just get into our echo chambers, not to go seeking fights, but to disagree, model what disagreeing well looks like, and to love each other. I've been reading over the last couple of days, 3 or 5 times, John 13. And Jesus says, love each other, because as you love each other, the world will see and they will know you're my disciples. We follow Jesus because he loved us. He gave his life for us. And within the Trinity, they love and honor each other, Father, Son, Spirit. And we show the world what that's like as we love and honour each other, as we submit to each other, as we listen to each other. We might be slightly nervous about what it might open up having these conversations, but having them well is so powerful. So whatever it looks like, we're going to have a bit of a chat now. We're not going to dive into the issues themselves. That is going to be for later, but we are going to talk about, what does it mean to have good conversations? What does it mean to listen well? What's important here? So, do
chat.
Comments on the thread, question.
Yeah, lots.
Are there lots already, lots. Sarah? So go on, give us a start of 10 from the comments thread.
Yeah.
Okay, so Ali was saying that she thinks avoiding conflict allows resentment to build up, and that can be destructive. I think that's right, if you're always shying away from stuff, isn't it? Sue Farman says she tries not to avoid difficult conversations, but it is tough. Emily was saying, you know, there are also though some good times that it's, you avoid them, but it's good to sort of speak out. And I suppose it is in these marginalised or oppressed situations, what have you, to speak up and say, no, what are you doing wrong? You know,
I agree that there's situations, isn't there, like Jesus stood up for, you know, the marginalised and the oppressed.
Absolutely.
And when we see injustice, we should speak out, like speaking in Afghanistan.
I think there are obviously a lot of people do have problems speaking out then, but I think that probably it's easier to speak out generally to or about somebody or something that you don't know, but it's those conversations with the people that you know well that can be really difficult, isn't it? I suppose. David was saying that, David, you've not forgotten us. David was saying one of my best vicar friends would call herself a liberal Anglo-Catholic. He says they disagree on a lot, but the fact that they can sit down, it's not like David, the fact that they can sit down and learn a lot from each other, that's really valuable. And, you know, just to have humble conversation and what have you, and it's safe conversation as well. That's all that sort of stuff going on. Coming in.
I think that this listening on, this listening to one another is such a huge thing. And what I've really seen over the last year or so is that, especially on social media, that there isn't that willingness to listen to one another, and among Christians, and talking about, especially about the pandemic and things, and how people just want to push their agenda. And really don't listen to other people and get so, I don't know, so argumentative. And it's like Tim was saying, it's like those echo chambers. And when you're in an echo chamber, the algorithms pick up on it, and then you get further and further into that echo chamber. And I think that's the same on every subject, really.
Yeah, well, Brexit was before the pandemic, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah,
that was the one. I mean, that was
yeah.
Yeah. You saw the effect that it had on so many people.
Yeah.
I think from my point of view, the key thing out of this is, who are we to judge anybody? And the thing is, it's when this disagreement becomes judgment of somebody else. The only person that can judge is God, right? It's not for us to judge somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that I've never judged anybody. I am a sinner. I am not perfect, but I'm fully aware that it's not my place to judge anybody. I think it's really interesting as well, Tim, what you're saying about the whole celebrating singleness sort of thing. If that's somebody's choice, then that should be respected and not seen, as it often has been historically, as you're a failure if you're not married.
Yeah.
Jesus was a failure.
Yeah, and Paul. I was going to pick up on that as well, because I've got a friend who's actually written a book on singleness and how she often felt in the church that everybody was always waiting for her to say she was getting married or whatever. And they were like, oh, have you got a man yet? And it's just like, everyone, the optimal is to be married. That's the most important thing. And but she found a real, you know, freedom in pursuing that life and that, like, a sort of singleness that she could give herself to God really fully and stuff. And it's a really good book. It's called Single Minded by Kate Wharton, if you're interested in that.
Yeah, put that in the chat, so they say. Yeah, absolutely. And there's a whole thing called Single Friendly Church as well, which have got some good stuff going on. So perhaps that'll be the next thing that we look at. About embracing that in church.
Sorry, I was just looking for my copy of Single Minded. I know which shelf it's on, but I can't see it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, well, Ali knows it. She says it's a great book.
Yeah.
So she must have read it. And hi, Rose Kershaw.
Hey, Rose.
She's agreeing that God that should judge.
Sorry, yes, I was just going to loop something back to something you said, Sarah, which was about sometimes we find it easier to have those difficult conversations or challenge people who are further away from us, but we find it more difficult to have it with people who are close to us. And I wonder if that is because we don't want to risk the relationship. And there's kind of, it's like there are some things that you just, and we think about when we're talking about faith as well, and sharing our faith and sharing our story about Jesus in our lives. We talk about this kind of thing, don't we? It's kind of, well, they're my friend, and if I talk to Jesus about Jesus to them, they might not want to be my friend anymore. It affects a whole load of the conversations we want to have.
It's really hard to have those difficult conversations, but you know, if we can do it in these ways, what a difference it would make. You know, if we did sort of practice the fruits of spirit in our conversation. And there was one phrase you said, Tim, that I wrote down because I liked it, and you said, we're brave enough to speak because we're kind to listen. And I really liked that idea that if, you know, we're kind enough to listen to one another, and the way that we listen to one another, then that gives the permission to speak, and it gives, you know, it will give us the bravery to speak. So I liked that phrase.
I'd also say as well that if, certainly when it comes to faith, that, because I was always, the old me was always very guarded about those things, for that reason of, oh, they might not like it. But the way that I think about things now personally is, if they don't like the fact that I'm a person of faith and I love God, I love Jesus, then if they're going to hold that against me, then I don't want them as my friend anyway. Bye.
Yeah, I think we might need to do some work on loving your enemies, Sarah.
No, well, they wouldn't, because they'd be holding it against me. No, but, you know, it's having that confidence in yourself as well, what you believe, that you don't have to change how you feel in order to spare somebody else's thoughts. From the point of view of, I will stop being who I am so that they accept me. It's about working the relationship so that they know who you are and what you are, and they still accept you. Mm. And it's going through that negotiation process almost then.
Yeah,
I'm getting a bit comfy there, aren't I? you know, that is the thing to do, of how to get on with people. But, you know, relationships are very destructive when it comes to the point where somebody feels they have to change who they are just to be accepted.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And back to the kind of listening skills thing. I think one of the most important or key things I learned in the various bits of pastoral training I've done on listening is, because I can catch myself doing it, is, you know, you're not listening when you catch yourself thinking about what you're going to say next whilst the other person is still speaking.
Mm.
It's a really good internal check to kind of assess your own level of listening.
Mm-hmm.
If you just building your own awareness of what you're doing in your head while other people are speaking, in any circumstance, can really help you improve the quality of your listening. Just watch your thoughts. In this conversation, am I listening to what the person is saying, or am I starting to think about what I'm going to say next?
Yeah, and interestingly, I just did that then when you were speaking, because I caught myself thinking, oh, what am I going to say in response to that? Instead of like actively listening to you at that moment.
Mm.
So that really sort of brought that home for me, that point. And we all know people, don't we, who just interrupt all the time with something about them when they're not really listening to you at all. And but that active present listening is very powerful, I think.
I think Emmy makes a good point. She says, I wish we were better at debating in the UK. Examples of TV like Jeremy Kyle and Question Time are poor examples of debate, which is quite true. I think the problem is with social media, we've lost the art of debating or even just talking with people in person, haven't we? It's all this and a sort of, it's so easy to comment and things. You don't see it land. The interpretation of what is key. Because somebody can say or do some type something. If you're face to face, actually, you know, somebody can say something and you just take it totally differently to how it's meant. So it's not only that listen, that clarification of what you've understood, of what you've heard, what you've understood from what you've heard. I found myself many times saying, so is what you're saying that such and such and such and such? No, I didn't mean that. Oh, all right, I got it wrong then. that's what it meant.
That's another classic little tool you can use in active listening. Check that you've understood just check with people.
It's clarifying, isn't it?
I think I've heard is.
Yeah.
Mm.
I think you might be saying it. Is that right?
Yeah.
Mm.
Really powerful tool. They're not, and these things aren't complicated. Really powerful tools. We are going to have to draw the conversation to a close. Just as we do so, is there anything else, Sarah, that you wanted to bring up from the comments?
Acknowledging that listening is difficult and we need to work at listening more. So we've got to learn to listen, we've got to learn to debate better and stop watching Question Time.
Right. I won't watch it anyway. It makes me too
cross. That's
sweet. Any answers, it's even worse. No patience with it whatsoever. Anyway, there you go.
What is? Oh, any answers? Yeah, that is bad.
Anyway, okay. So the one thing I forgot to say is that if you're in the Telford area and you want to come to the All Saints one on the Thursday night, it's actually Sarah and me who are co-hosting that. as part of the kind of folk who come from a different viewpoint on these things, but working together to help people having conversations about it. So that's great. We'll put the details of it on the Shift Church Facebook group, and it starts the middle of October. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so look forward to that.
Really good. Come and join us.
Yes. So as we continue to think on these things, reflect on them, we've got a song, bit of music for us to just think, start praying these things through. We're going to lead us straight into prayer, which I think Liz is leading. Is that right, Liz?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you want to start putting prayer requests on the comments stream, do that, and then we'll, Liz and Sarah will feed those in as we pray together. But let's have some worship, some song worship.
Thank you.
Let's spend a few moments in prayer. And we're going to use the PRAY acronym as usual. So we're just going to take a moment to pause at the beginning to just remember God's here with us. And we just remember the words of that song, that hymn, "All to Jesus I Surrender. All to him I freely give." And we just breathe in the Holy Spirit. And breathe out all the worries and cares and the difficult stuff in our day. And then let's just spend a couple of moments just expressing our gratitude, our thanks, our rejoicing to God for all he has done and for who he is. Lord, we thank you that you are a God of reconciliation and forgiveness, and that and we disagree with one another, Lord, that you love us, and that your heart longs to reconcile and longs for us to bring that to one another.
Father, we thank you for the gift of different ways of living, for those who are single, for those who, for friendships, for marriages, for family relationships, for all the different ways that you've given to us to relate to each other. And for the different strengths and weaknesses of those and challenges of those ways of living. Mm-hmm. We are all here to support each other and celebrate each other. Thank you, Lord, for the richness of life that you've given us. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Lord, we thank you for the depth of love. And it's love that that includes and love that brings in the oppressed and those who are in trouble and in difficulty, Lord, and love that is justice and love that chases us down. And we thank you, Lord, for that great love that we can only catch the edges of. So let's move on to the ASK bit of our acronym. And we're just going to pray specifically into this area of disagreeing well and bring any prayer requests before God. Lord, we pray for all of us and for your church that we will really be intentional about getting better at listening to one another and about practicing those active listening skills where we really hear one another. We pray, Lord, that we would listen to you and to your heartbeat and the Holy Spirit breathing on us as we hear what other people say. And Lord, we pray that when we struggle with what they say, when we disagree with what they say, that you would give us the grace and the patience and the love to listen and to hear what people are saying, and to be kind and just to practice those gifts of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that practicing those gifts would set us free and bring freedom to those around us as well, Lord.
Lord, I pray for strength in those people that have perhaps had disagreements, different opinions on things that have caused divide and separation in that they love, family, friends. It's gone on for years. The longer time goes on, the more difficult it is for these conversations to be had. So Lord, I pray that you will be with people as they make these decisions. Help them to feel that it's possible with you by their side, to meet with these loved ones, these friends, family again, and just take that step. Be brave and step out in faith, Lord, in the knowledge that you'll be with them in those difficult conversations, and that the outcome can only be a good one with you involved, Lord.
And Lord, we do lift up this course to you, the Living in Leith, and we really pray that that will be a place where people hear one another and love one another, and a really positive atmosphere in that place, Lord, in all the different places that are running that course. And we pray for all those who are leading and all those taking part, Lord, that it'll be a place of healing, and a place where people feel loved and included and wanted. And we just pray for your blessing on it. In Jesus' name. A couple of prayer requests from the stream. Lord, we lift up Sue to you with these appointments that are not coming through for the pain clinic and the other things that that she needs to get sorted out. Lord, we really pray that you would bring about recovery and healing, and I pray that you just give her peace in this time as she has to wait for all of that. And Lord, we do lift up Ali to you, and we pray for healing and for this infection in her ears. And I just pray for rest for her, and that she'll be able to get that sorted soon.
And Lord, for anybody else known to us, or if it's as ourselves, we just don't want to say. We just pray that we can all be healed in your love, Lord. Pray that you'll be with us all. And you know of everything that's on our minds and in our hearts. You know of everything that's wrong with us physically and emotionally. And sometimes, you know, we don't need to tell anybody. It's a private thing between you and us, just the two of us. And we thank you for that, Lord.
Yeah. So finally, we yield to God. We say yes to God. So Father, we say yes to you, to listening to you, to listening to your word, to not conforming to the pattern of this world, in the way that we listen to one another and disagree with one another. And we say yes to listening to one another with intention and with love.
Amen. Thank you, Liz. We are coming towards the end of our time together. If there's things that occur to you in the week, put them on the Facebook group or email me, tim@allsaints-wellington.org. Now, we've got a very exciting thing on Sunday morning. Sarah is going to be reaffirming her baptism vows with water. So we're going to dunk her in the baptistry at All Saints. So if you're local to Telford, do come along 10:30 All Saints Sunday morning to support Sarah. If you're not local to Telford, but you are around on Sunday mornings, you can watch on the live stream on Facebook. Here, in fact, catch up on the video.
My cousin will be watching from Spain.
Loads of people can watch and support and pray for Sarah as she reaffirms her baptism vows and shares some of her testimony in church on.
I hope that I've found my hairdryer and stuff afterwards, because I've not done anything with my hair.
I'm not talking about hair. Bless you all very much. Say goodnight, Liz.
Good night, Liz.
Say goodbye, Sarah.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Sarah.
Goodbye, everybody. God bless.
Yay.